This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You may be able to say more about why you had to leave your place of employment. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the president of the St. Louis Fed said today that his team has a lot more work to do to quash inflation, which implies a higher range for interest rates to come. And we had the data this week that shoppers kept on shopping in October, despite higher prices and the higher costs for borrowing to shop. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax, audit, and advisory firm KPMG.
That resilience of the U.S. consumer actually makes the Federal Reserve's job much harder because it means people are willing to spend into higher prices. What's more important is, why are we getting that resilience? Well, we generated 4.1 million new paychecks since January. That's almost double the pace of the 2010s. And even though individuals are losing ground on their purchasing power, that aggregate increase in income is supporting consumer spending and makes the job of the Fed that much harder.
A bill to ban non-disclosure agreements in cases of sexual harassment is now on its way to President Biden's desk, where he's expected to sign it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us from Washington. Nancy, how would this work?
It would allow people who experience sexual harassment at work to talk about it. Lots of employers require workers to sign non-disclosure agreements, and they can be part of the paperwork you have to sign the first day on the job. They prevent you from talking about certain things. But the bill says these agreements can't be used to muzzle survivors of sexual harassment or assault. The House passed the legislation yesterday. The Senate approved it earlier this year.
Does the bill limit other types of non-disclosure agreements?
No. So companies can still use them to keep employees quiet about, say, trade secrets. Also, this bill only applies to agreements a worker signed before the sexual harassment occurred. So employers could still require workers to sign non-disclosure agreements after the abuse occurs. So if, say, a settlement is reached.
I see. Now, discrimination comes in many forms, right? Does this bill apply to a range?
It does not, David. So backers of the bill want to expand it to cover all types of discrimination and retaliation, things like age or race discrimination. And they're also trying to challenge laws in states where big corporations are headquartered, like New York and California.
Nancy, thank you. A new CEO has arrived to supervise the spectacular bankruptcy of the cryptocurrency trading company FTX, and what he's found so far does not look good to him. John Ray tweeted today about a, quote, complete failure of corporate controls, that he's never seen anything this bad. Saying something, Ray has worked to sort out some of the biggest messes in corporate history, including the energy trading firm Enron. The founder of FTX had reportedly been looking for new investors to bail out a company where investors may have lost more than $10 billion. Data from the Pew Charitable Trusts finds that investment firms accounted for just about one quarter of all home sales last year. The property is typically then rented or flipped. There's even a company called Arrive that's been flourishing that allows mom-and-pop investors to buy shares of a collection of single-family homes. Yahoo News notes that Arrive has the backing of some big names, like the Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. Companies have the wherewithal to make all-cash bids on houses, which puts normal home buyers who have to borrow for part of the money at a disadvantage. Let's get more from Majora Carter, an urban revitalization specialist and real estate developer. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Now, the typical way to get a house is to borrow money from a bank, right? But not everyone has to do that. And those who don't have to go to a bank to borrow have another advantage, right? I mean, it's a little bit similar to the private equity people buying things up. They have cash on hand on the barrelhead ready to roll.
Yeah, those all cash deals are predatory speculators, you know, who basically, you know, traffic in what we call low status communities. And they're the kind of communities where inequality is assumed by those who live in those communities and also those on the outside looking in. And, you know, those are the same type of places wherein you'll see, you know, less home ownership. But in those neighborhoods, you'll also see, you know, people who don't believe that there's much value in their community in general. And so that's why it's so easy for whether it's private equity or just general real estate holding companies to sort of like pick off those folks.
I mean, you do see the all cash offer as a, I guess I'm hearing, an unfair advantage. But Majora, you can't blame the seller of a property for taking the all cash offer.
No, but here's the thing. We want to make sure that the seller knows what they're getting into. Like, for example, in the U.S., if you're accused of a crime and can't afford legal counsel, you get a public defender. The same can actually be done for property owners. So think about it. Before a real estate transaction goes forward within, you know, the community, the seller should receive legal and financial counsel. So they're fully aware of the value of their land and how to maximize it. But again, if people don't know the value of what they've got, and if they're led to believe that in those communities there really isn't any value, they're easy prey.
So you're saying if someone comes around the neighborhood waving cash, who can do an all cash offer, sometimes the seller doesn't have the connections or the infrastructure to fully evaluate whether or not he or she is getting a good deal. And maybe we should think about providing that.
Oh, yes. That's what, you know, private equity and real estate holding companies are counting on. You know, they're counting on folks in communities like mine. You know, I live in the South Bronx, not seeing the value on it. We've seen in our own neighborhood, the home ownership rate for owner occupied homes, you know, go down from like a 20% or so down to less than 7%. And that was since the 2008 crisis. And most of them have been all cash deals.
Majora Carter is very focused on urban revitalization. She's a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. And her book is called Reclaiming Your Community. You don't have to move out of your neighborhood to live in a better one. Majora, always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.